Hey, it's Neil Keefe, and welcome to the debut of the Keefe to the City podcast on WFAN.com. Joining me today is Mike Hurley of Nesson.com, the New England sports network up in Boston, and Mike joins me to talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox and the shift of power in the AL East over the last week, now that the Yankees have failed to sign Cliff Lee and the Red Sox have added Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford to the mix. Mike, how's it going today?
Good. You sound a lot better than I expected you to hear, than I expected you to be.
Yeah, it was pretty devastated last night. I think the devastation factors and the initial shock is wearing off, but still a long ways to go. The Yankees just got locked up Mark Pryor about, 20 minutes or so ago, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. I'm feeling good about Russell Martin, and hopefully, you
know. And Pavano's next.
I know. I think Carl Pavano's next, and I wrote yesterday about the possible addition of Sidney Ponson for the third time. Maybe they could get Daryl Rasner back from Japan, and it's pretty disappointing. But I thought I'd talk to you since, as of right now, the Yankees headed to a bridge year. Nothing that you want to hear in New York, but you know a little bit of something about that from last year in Boston. So I guess just share your quick thoughts on what it's like to see your season go down the tube so early in the season, even though the Red Sox went into last year believing that they were a playoff team.
Well, I mean, last year was supposed to be the bridge year, but, I mean, you were up here at the beginning of 09 when, I mean, you just ran through those pitchers' names, and in 09 it was Brad Penny, it was John Smoltz, and everyone who's ever watched baseball knew that wasn't going to work out, and sure enough, by July, that was pretty much failed. So I can't really make you feel better on that count there. But, I mean, the bridge year wasn't the bridge year we all expected. I mean, they preached pitching and defense, and the pitching and defense was pretty awful. And the bats came through, and they, I mean, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get right now, but no, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, and I think that most people want to turn to the Red Sox lineup, which I'm not really that worried about. I'm more worried about their pitching, if their pitching stays healthy with Lester, and if Beckett bounces back, Buchholz, Lackey, if he could be even somewhat what he was with the Angels, and Dice K, I think we can forget about him for now, but their pitching stacked up against the Yankees right now is far and away better. I don't think the lineup is that much better. They added Gonzalez, but they did lose Victor Martinez and his bat against lefty pitching. And they added Crawford, who is an upgrade in the outfield, and their outfield was their one weak spot on the team with Ellsbury, Cameron, and Drew, and now be Ellsbury, Crawford, and Drew. So they did upgrade their team. They're a lot better than they were last year, but I think that people are discounting the fact that they don't have Victor Martinez anymore, and he was such a big factor not only, throughout the whole season, but against the Yankees. He crushed the Yankees, and I think, 50% of his home runs came against the Yankees alone last year.
The offense didn't get tremendously better, I think, in the short term, but obviously in the long term, to add Gonzalez and Crawford for that long is, I mean, what Gonzalez is going to do with Fenway is going to be, it might be silly, after from going from Petco to there. But in the outfield, it wasn't necessarily Ellsbury last year because he played about 15 minutes. It was, Daniel Nava, Darnell McDonald combination that filled in. So the offense is definitely going to be a touch better, but I mean, you lost 182 RBIs or so. I think that's the number in Beltre and Martinez. So yeah, you add Pedroia, Euclid, Gonzalez, Crawford back into that. You're going to get a few more runs, but that wasn't the problem last year. It was the pitching. The starting pitching was great at times from Lester and Buchholz, but beyond that, it was shaky. So, I mean, if you don't get the pitching, you still it might seem right now like the Red Sox are far and away better, but they got to actually perform up to their standard.
I don't know. I'm not very optimistic right now, and I don't know what the Yankees could do to get me back on track, but I'm sure you're already predicting a Red Sox-Phillies World Series, as I'm sure most of the sports media outlets will. But right now, I can't imagine that you're anything but ecstatic about the way things have turned out for the Yankees and the way that things have gone for the Red Sox over the last, 7 to 10 days.
I think the biggest part of it was, I mean, the Teixeira signing just swung the balance so far to the Yankees that it was like a knockout punch. It was basically the past 2 years they've been, scrapping. It worked out with Beltre last year, but obviously they lost Euclid for most of the season, and the year before that, Lowell's hip goes out, and they've been scrambling on that on the corner infield at one or the other spot. So finally they answer that, and it sort of neutralizes it in a way with just the power, the average, and the defense. that the Lee, it almost, I mean, the Yankees needed Lee, and it's, has that ever happened?
I mean, the only time was the Greg Maddux situation,
right.
And the Yankees still went on to win their championships, but at the time, right. Their pitching was a great deal better than what it is now, where they're relying on CC Sabathia and Phil Hughes and then AJ Burnett, and from there it's just downhill, and to think that it's downhill after AJ Burnett is a scary thought, because I think it's pretty much downhill whenever you factor him in. But I'm sure the money truck will back up in the Andy Pettitte driveway in the next couple of days, and the Yankees will make him an offer he can't refuse. I just think that it would have been a lot tougher for him to refuse an offer had Cliff Lee gone back, because the only reason he wants to come back is to try to get one more ring before he calls it quits, and Cliff Lee would have definitely put them in a better position. And now I think back of Andy Pettitte's mind, as much as people say it's about his family and stuff, I think he's thinking now, you know, do I want to come back into the situation where we're a second place, third place team in the East? I don't know if Andy Pettitte wants to do that, but I don't see how there's any alternative but to overpay for Andy Pettitte. So the people that didn't want to overpay for Cliff Lee and the people that wanted to screw Derek Jeter out of a few extra dollars, they're now going to overpay for Andy Pettitte and hope that he holds up the way he did it last year. So no matter what you look at, Yankees are overpaying for somebody. I just think that they didn't get their guy, and now it's going to come back to hurt them even more than it would have had they gotten a 7-year deal for Lee.
Well, you just mentioned Jeter, and I don't know, everyone's saying everything today, but there's the group that thinks the way this, you know, post-George management handled Jeter, the way they handle certain things, the way they play hardball with their two best, you know, the two faces of their franchise this offseason, scared some people away. Do you put any stock in that, or is Cliff Lee just a weird dude?
Yeah, I did add something about Steinbrenner in the piece that I wrote on Lee, because I think it's true. Whether you want to say he stopped in 2007 being in charge, we'll go from the day he bought the team in January of 73 until he died, which was 37 and a half years, and one person in all of that time, to my knowledge, one ace, which is Greg Maddux, turned down money, and the guy's been dead for 5 months, and we've already matched that number of people that turned down the money. So whether or not Cliff Lee was ever going to come here, it's scary to think that without Steinbrenner, the way they handled the face of the franchise and the most iconic Yankee in generations, and the way they let Mariano Rivera, he's better at his position than anybody in the history of the game, go talk to the Red Sox, and the way they publicly bashed Jeter, and the way this fell apart with Lee, I don't think it would happen under George Steinbrenner. And, you know, there was a lot of bad seasons under George Steinbrenner, bad decades for even that matter, but today Brian Cashman would definitely be hearing about it if Cliff Lee wasn't a Yankee and George Steinbrenner was still in charge and fully in charge. And I think that that's not the case today. I think that Hal Steinbrenner, he probably is angry about what happened, but I don't think that Brian Cashman's hearing it the way that he would have under George Steinbrenner.
And part of it just might be, I mean, do you want to go eat lunch with Hal Steinbrenner? I mean, could he convince you to do anything if you went out to eat with him except run away from your dinner table? I mean, at least George could sit you down and convince you. I don't know if there's anyone in the Yankees organization. I mean, I know Cashman's spunky and climbs down buildings, but I'm not sure he could convince me of anything either. And plus, he's been so just strictly business all offseason, minus the scaling of the building. I mean, they just don't seem like a group that can really woo you at this point. And, I mean, but then again, how many top-of-the-line free agents don't go to the highest bidder? I'm not sure it's the end of the era for the Yankees getting whoever they want. I just think you get a guy like Cliff Lee, who's kind of a weirdo, acts at the World Series like I act when I walk to CVS to get a bottle of water. He's just a different breed, and I'm not sure. I think all those points are valid about the new regime or whatever, but I think you have a very unique case with Cliff Lee.
Yeah, I don't think by any means that the Yankees, you know, spending days and enticing people to come to New York are over. I think that this was a unique case, and we might not see this again. You know, the last time anybody saw this was Greg Maddux in the 90s, and it hasn't happened since then. And they were able to get CC to come here and Mark Teixeira and AJ Burnett for better or worse. So I don't think that it will be a problem in the future, but a lot's being made of it because of where the rotation is right now, because of the gap from the major league talent right now, the current major leaguers, and, you know, the prospects that are a few years away. There's that gap, and that's Brian Cashman's fault that there's a gap there. And it might not be his fault that Cliff Lee didn't want to come here, but he put his whole 2011 plan on the notion that he could go out and bid higher than everyone else. And in the end, he didn't even bid higher than everyone else when you add in the taxes and the average annual salary. But I guess he just had a great experience in Philadelphia, and he wanted to try to rekindle whatever was lost there in 2009.
Yeah, so Christmas is over?
I don't know if Christmas is over. It put a little damper on it. I don't know. It hasn't been as joyful. I haven't been rocking out to Christmas music like I usually would over the last 18 or so hours. But yeah, it's been a lot of depressing music and thinking about, you know, Ellsbury and Crawford double stealing off AJ Burnett and wild pitches and pass balls and 6-0 deficits at Fenway Park in the second inning. So it's been a pretty bad day. But
I wouldn't worry too much about the head-to-head matchups. It seems no matter what happens every year, they're going to go 10-9 against each other, 9-9, 8-10. You know, it's bizarre. I mean, what the Red Sox went the first 8 in 09, Jason Bay was hitting like 15 home runs in those games, and then they went 1-9 the rest of the way the Red Sox did. So
yeah, I think it will always be even, and I think we saw last year with Darnell McDonald and guys like, you know, Bill Hall that it will still be an even out series. I don't think anyone's winning the season series 12-6. But
yeah.
One other thing we didn't talk about is really in depth is the trade of Adrian Gonzalez and the fact that the Padres traded him for prospects. And I'm wondering if Jed Hoyer still works for the Red Sox, because
you'd think they'd
have to give up somebody on the major league roster.
You'd think, but at the same time, I mean, the guys on the major league, I mean, Ellsbury's going to be arbitration eligible, what, 2 years, 3 years? They want guys for the next 6-7 years. They want to fully get it out. And I think what we learned in the Beckett trade when Theo was on his little leave of absence there and they traded away Hanley, I think there was disagreements within the organization about valuing prospects, because you'll see a top-rated prospect fall to the 25th ranked prospect in a matter of a year. So I think maybe Kelly was Hoyer's guy. I think you never know with how much Theo loved him. I think Theo liked him, obviously, but maybe he was, you know, Jed's project, and maybe Theo didn't hate to see him go. And, you know, Theo wouldn't part with people he really, really loved. I can't imagine, even for a guy that's going to hit the free agent market next year. So you can't fleece your former employee. So I think Hoyer got what he wanted, and Epstein got what he wanted. And if there were any baseball fans in San Diego, they'd probably be pretty pissed. But fortunately, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I've made it a point that Carl Crawford has been my favorite non-Yankee player in Major League Baseball since, 02, 03. And now I have to hate Carl Crawford. So I think I'm going to become a huge Casey Kelly fan and hope that he takes off and becomes, you know, the next big thing and a perennial Cy Young Award winner. So Casey Kelly, I'm your biggest fan, and I wish you nothing but the best, and hope that you make the Red Sox regret this move for the next 15 years or so.
Yeah, well, his 5 ERA in Double A last year isn't helping you just yet.
All right, Mike. Well, I thank you for joining me, and hopefully your Patriots go down in flames in the divisional round of the playoffs after they get a nice little bye in the first round thanks to the Jets.
Thank you.